The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Hey, boo.
Hannah.
Good morning.
Good morning, indeed. Folks, if you're just tuning in, it is 3:30 in the morning where I am in L.A. Because Hannah is in somewhere in bumfuck Africa on on a little vacation.
Okay, folks, if you are just tuning in, it's 7 a.m. in Los Angeles, and my dear friend Lamorne agreed to get up early to record our podcast because I am on a little Greek island and there is a ridiculous time difference and he's a very good friend.
Oh, wow. You're on a Greek island, dog? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
I'm living.
Must
you know what is
nice.
Actually kind of interesting is like I had a real moment. I was with some friends yesterday.
Fancy.
And they very fancy. I have friends. And I was like, sorry, guys, I got to go home and work. And they were like, oh, like, what are you working on? And I realized my answer was, I have to go home and watch New Girl. Which sounded crazy.
Yeah.
But then I realized I had this moment as I was walking home. I'm like, how lucky are we? We got to make this incredible show that stayed on the air because, listeners like you loved the show and watched it. So we got to keep making it. And now I get to go and like watch this great show again because of listeners like you. It's like, it's no work at all. It's just like the greatest thing in the world. And to call it a job that I had to go home and work, I realized how ludicrous it was because I just got to go home and watch an awesome TV show. And then the next part of my work was hanging out with my bud the next day to talk about it.
You know, it's so interesting. Cool. You and I see things totally different. You see,
okay.
You're right. The show was fun and it was, well, you're right. It didn't feel like work at the moment. But let me tell you something, folks. Right now it's 3:30 in the morning. And
it's 7 a.m. It's actually almost 7:30.
I mean, well, yeah, when you do it mathematically, of course.
Yeah, when you look at a watch. Yeah, I guess you're dealing, looking at a watch.
If you're dealing numerically, then yeah, I guess you're right.
If you're looking at a clock. Okay, we should dive into this week's episode because it's by far one of my favorites. It's called Parents.
Oh, this one's great.
This one's great.
This one we have, you know, it's interesting. As I was rewatching it, I realized, my goodness, we had Jamie Lee Curtis. We had Rob Reiner. We had Rob Riggle. And we had Lamorne Morris.
The humble Lamorne Morris.
That's what they say. Am I missing anybody?
Can I just say, do you remember the moment that you found out that it was Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Reiner playing Jess's parents? Because I do.
I can't tell you exactly where I was in that moment, but I could tell you I was freaking out. I was so nervous. I was excited at the idea, but I was more so nervous because I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of these two Hall of Famers.
Yeah. I remember exactly where I was. We were in a, we were shooting models at the Bay. What's the word? we built the club set in a big, what's the word?
Studio?
Yes, warehouse. In a big warehouse. Hilarious. Thank you. In a big warehouse downtown. It was grimy. Okay. And I walked over to Video Village in between setups, and I just heard Liz chatting with, I think, Brett and Dave, and they were so casual about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, we just got confirmed who's going to shoot next week as Jess's parents. And I was like, who? And they're like, Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Reiner. And they were so casual about it, I thought it was a bit. Like, I thought, you know what I mean? Like, they were making it up. And I looked and I was like, are you serious? And I had to walk away because that's when I realized, I'm like, this show is a powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come and just like hang out and do these bit, what?
Weird, ridiculous bits on our show.
Yeah. What? so crazy. And they were so incredible and cool and kind. And it was like taking a master class every day. With the stories they would share.
So speaking of stories they would share, Rob Reiner was back, you know, back in the day, he was on a little show called All in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And he played the son of Archie Bunker. And his dad, Archie Bunker, used to always call Rob Reiner a meathead.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the thing. Every episode he would call him a meathead. I thought I would get the brilliant idea to in a scene with Rob Reiner improvise and call him a meathead, thinking it would get a laugh out of him, thinking that he would chuckle in his belly and think, man, this young actor is on his way. He is genius with this remark that I've never heard before.
Uh-huh. First time.
So I did it. Man, this man stared a hole through me. Okay. This man stared a hole through me, and the look on his face was, if you don't sit your punk ass down.
No, there's no way.
Yes.
Rob is so nice. I'm sure he looked at you like, he's not going to make the show. Nice try, young man.
No, he looked at me like he had heard that for 30, 40 years. Said, you are not reinventing the wheel, young man. I was hurt.
I'm sorry. He's so sweet. I've bumped into him a couple times now, and he always treats me like I'm like a long lost daughter. And he's just always so like, oh my
gosh, spoiler alert,
what are you doing? It's so sweet and genuine. What if I am? What a dream that would be. And Jamie Lee Curtis, man, when she won that Oscar, didn't you just feel like some sort of weird, like deep, like it's weird when it's someone you know. I was just like so proud. Like she was my long lost daughter.
I know. That was one of the coolest moments, you know, seeing that her on stage, or seeing that squad on stage for that film.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Harry Shum Jr., our former Fox family.
Love
actor.
Harry.
But yeah, anyway, he was on that stage. I sent a video to him and recorded the whole thing.
No.
He didn't respond.
It's big time now. It's big time.
Well because okay. I sent it.
We have to just dive into it. Like, we're talking a little about Jamie Lee and Rob because, let's call him Rob Reiner, Mr. Reiner.
Yeah, it's not your homie.
Because it was such a huge moment for our show to get them. But now we're going to get into the episode. You want to talk about it a little more? Let's go.
Let's talk about it a little bit. So here's the deal. It's our traditional Thanksgiving episode in the loft. And divorced parents mean two separate Thanksgivings. Unless, of course, you're trying to parent trap your folks back into a loving relationship. Joan, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Bob, Rob Reiner, are polar opposites. And as an audience, we have a hard time envisioning them ever being together. But Jessica Day, she will stop at nothing to get her parents back together. She reveals her father was dumped, knowing her mom will try to comfort him. And then Jess plays an old standard song that they love, and sparks start to fly. CeCe tries to remind Jess of all her previous attempts, but when Jess sees the beginning of a spark, she ropes Nick into honeypotting her mother. They sing romantic songs, they flirt over the turkey, but Nick forgets he's playing a game and develops feelings for Joan? Everybody loves Jamie Lee Curtis. Sorry I said it in such a deep voice, y'all, but you get my point. Meanwhile, Winston decides to have a little fun with the two Schmidts. Loft Schmidt's cousin, Big Schmidt, arrives in town recently divorced and is ready to prove there's only one true Schmidt. Winston encourages the men to wheelbarrow, burp, and donkey raise their way to a champion. But when auto asphyxiation enters the picture, Loft Schmidt claims a new kind of man. The post-Clinton man who enjoys a cheese plate, likes to exfoliate, and expertly cut vegetables. Unfortunately for Loft Schmidt, Big Schmidt was the Marines' Chef of the Year in 2003. He will do anything to prove he's the manliest. So CeCe jumps in and claims the manliest thing a man can do is be confident in his manhood. So whoever can kiss a guy wins the competition. CeCe offers up Winston his tribute without him knowing what was coming. Big Schmidt really needs a win. He attacks Winston's face. He attacked it, y'all. He attacked it. Though he wins, he realizes, after kissing Winston's lips, that he really just misses his wife. Bob misses his wife, too. Jealous of Nick's flirting and covered in raw turkey juice, Bob and Joan head to the bathroom to get cleaned up. They share a spicy, spicy kiss. A spicy kiss some would consider more than that. Unfortunately, Jess sees and convinces herself that they are getting back together. Over dinner, Jess reveals she saw them in the bathroom doing dirty stuff. And Bob and Joan make it clear that they are never getting back together. Despondent, Jess dumps the turkey in the sink, which my mama would have slapped the dog piss out of me if I ever done something stupid like that. She ruined Thanksgiving for everybody. Damn it. Now later she tells her mother that she's scared she'll end up alone because both of her parents are single. Joan reminds her, divorce is a part of life, and her life is not predetermined. She could have a great love, or do a great gardens. Comforted, Jess says goodbye to her parents. As they leave the loft, we see that Jess's parent trap wasn't completely ineffectual. In fact, it might have been sexual, because they hook up in the elevator and promise not to tell Jess. And that's what happened on episode 208, Parents.
Let's dive into this episode, because I have been really excited to talk about the idea of split holidays.
Oh my gosh, going through that now.
I don't want to get emotional.
Christmas away from my baby. No.
Split holidays. I grew up having split holidays. And I remember having conversations with kids at school who were so jealous. So jealous. Because my parents were divorced. That I would have two Christmases. And it was like, I was the cool girl because of it, because the two Christmases.
You didn't see things that way.
I remember being like, wow. And that was actually a very nice gift, I realized, from like the kids in my school. I don't think they're trying to give me a gift. But psychologically at the time, I was just like, I guess I'm winning.
Well, technically you were. I mean, double gifts. It's like double vacations.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Because as I'm co-parenting, you know, it is a strange thing. My daughter definitely gets multiple holidays. about that. Like, because I feel like when she's at her mom's side of the family, let's say on Christmas, that she would spend it with both. I would feel this urge to buy her two presents as well. I'm like, right. Oh, she's over there with them. I don't want them to think I didn't get her a gift, so I'm going to send a gift.
Yeah. To their house. You got to represent over there too.
Yeah. I'm going to keep my foot down in their household. And then I have presents here. You know, what a trick. What a scam this little girl did. Oh, she thinks she's slick.
Well, Jess does not feel that way. Jess wants her parents back together and has been scheming about making this happen for years and years and years. We get a great flashback scene of a young Jamie Lee Curtis and a young Rob Reiner, which made my heart sing because they looked amazing. And yes. I feel like there's a story Jamie Lee Curtis told him on set that they are truly, Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Reiner, like
our
the
lovers?
Oldest of friends, right? And didn't Rob Reiner marry Jamie Lee Curtis and Christopher Guest?
He married both of them?
Yeah. Officiated the ceremony, I should say.
I was like, whoa, progressive.
They're so progressive.
I'm gonna marry you and
no,
your
like,
lady.
They're like legit besties.
I didn't know that.
I wonder if it was like a package deal thing. We should ask Liz if like when she called and asked, and Jamie Lee Curtis was like, "I'll do it if Rob does." And Rob's like, "If I get to hang out with Jamie Lee Curtis all day, she's my best friend."
What if it was Rob Riggle? What if they called Rob Riggle and he's like, "I'll do it only if you get Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Reiner."
This is all Riggle.
All Riggle. Question for you. Have you ever been in this situation before?
What? Trying to parent trap my parents?
Yeah.
I do feel like there were moments where I felt like it'd be so great if they were back together. I think every kid kind of has the thought. And there needs to be like a big conversation from the parents to explain the reasons why that's not going to ever work and why that's in the best interests of everyone. I think that's like the big moment at the end where she kind of gets it when they kind of go like, it's better for everybody. We're all happy. If you're worried about our happiness, if you think that we're unhappy apart, we're happier apart. Which I thought was like really beautifully woven into, you know, a comedy.
That great lesson, which we knew was BS because, you know, we didn't find out that they are still slapping below the belt.
You know what's funny about that too? I was thinking about it. They do this thing and I'm, you know, it's not like they were writing later seasons at the time. They're writing episode to episode to episode with like season arcs in mind, but... Mm-hmm. They make a real pointed, moment of showing that Nick Miller and Bob are the same person. They even use the same like terminology of like, you know, you ruin everything. You ruin everything. They shout out the hallway at Bob. Yeah. And that's exactly what Jess says to Nick is what Joan says to Bob separately. They do that. And then I was thinking about like the elevator hookup is like the big Nick Jess moment.
Elevator hookup. Yeah, that
the
moment.
Big elevator hookup where they like declare their love and decide they want to be together, just like her mom and dad.
Look at life.
Look at that. It's almost like a scripted, yo.
It's almost like we had brilliant writers putting this
like
thing
professionals
together.
Wrote it. No, but I don't think that they were thinking. I just wonder. That's a good question to go back. I guess I'm going to text Liz and ask her because I'm like, did you, when you thought about where are they going to have this iconic kiss, was it that in mind that was like, you know, the relationship she'd also been hoping and dreaming for was her parents. And they had an iconic kiss in that elevator too.
It's interesting, you know, being on the show, you're in it for so long, you don't realize some of the themes they're putting together. I mean, sometimes you do when you can sit back and read an episode, a theme will just pop out on you. And sometimes the theme is, you know, somewhat in the title. But in this one, it was interesting I had no idea that that was one of that that was a situation they were going for. That that was something they were trying to connect until just now, until you mentioned it. I had no
idea. That's why this podcast is important, man. The epiphanies you have a decade later when you rewatch it, you're like, hold up.
I said, well, they didn't like her parents.
They also, I feel like, it's, I caught it this time watching it. I've never caught it before, where I feel like they planted the seed for the first Winston CC
mess around.
Because there's like this under the breath muttering that really made me laugh of, what are you doing? I'm bored.
Yeah.
Worth it. Let's go for it. And then a thread runs until it all
backfires on me.
On Winston. Yeah, backfires on you. On which we have to get to, because I mean, I've always wanted to know what it's like to kiss a large strapping man like Rob Riggle. And you have the experience.
Well, I could tell you, it wasn't like the other times. This one was different. This one was unique. You know, it was so funny in that moment, because Rob was trying to like map out how he was going to kiss but not kiss me. So fun fact, folks, we never touched lips. So if you're wondering, if you're thinking about asking Rob how soft my lips are, he can't tell you. You got to come to the source. But he did this thing where he took his thumbs and he put his thumbs over my lips. And then he grabs the side of my face with the rest of his fingers and then kisses his own thumbs. So Rob, if he were to assume what my lips would feel like, he'd probably say thumbs. Because he was, he's kissing his own fingers. So yeah, fun fact.
It's a very, very funny moment. I was like, I forgot. I was like, who ends up kissing?
Made out.
Winston.
That's right. Was that Winston's first kiss on the show? No.
I feel like there was also like a sweet Cece Schmidt moment where she kind of helps Schmidt out because he can't figure his way out of this situation with his cousin. This is also a very great episode for lots of people breaking, which makes me laugh because that means there wasn't one single take where the person could keep it together. And the all day. And Max is a mess.
Max is just, you could clearly see him visibly laughing.
Visibly laughing.
He's just like, screw it, I'm gonna laugh. I think in that moment, I want to say I had either pitched the all day thing.
No way.
Yeah, I'm almost positive I did.
It wasn't on the page. There was no all day ever written down.
You know, how, like I can do this all day.
Yeah.
But then I think I screamed like all day.
Oh, I see.
Day.
And then it became a thing.
Then it, yeah, and they just kept going back and forth with each other.
Hysterical.
I want to say that was me, and I would love your thanks and your praise if you're out there.
I'll give it to you. That's an iconic moment.
Yep.
Welcome. I mean, I feel like the other big breaking moment that made me laugh.
Or I didn't. Or I think. Or I completely made that up. Sorry. Or I just did not.
There's no way to fact check it.
We'll go with I did.
We're going to go with it. We're just going to say it here. That was you. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I did
you
that.
You turned a line into a moment.
Sorry.
I caught. The other favorite breaking moment that had me laughing and caught me off guard was Rob Reiner. Mm-hmm. It's when the two Schmidts are showing how they would grind on Joan.
Oh yeah.
He's up for grabs. And they obviously could not get a reaction shot of Rob not just laughing at how committed and dumb those boys look. And it made me laugh so hard. I love it because it's so funny because you think as an actor, like, oh, and you're laughing, you're not laughing like in character or whatever. But when you know people so intimately, you can actually tell when their smile is like a choice in a scene or it's their real smile. And it's so subtle. And I couldn't, if you gave me 10 hours and the full dictionary to go through to describe what the difference is. I couldn't do it. It's just something you know.
Oh yeah,
but I love it so.
If you ever see me in a scene that doesn't call for it, and that's a lot, if you pay attention to this episode, actually this entire series, there's sometimes I'm delivering a line with a smirk on my face. Like if me and, you know, if Winston and Nick are getting into a slap fight and Winston has a bit of a smirk on his face, that's not how my character is supposed to be doing it. I'm laughing. I'm laughing and I'm trying not to be laughing. I laugh so much on this show. And I think they capture a lot of it too. Now, to me, I think Liz found that to be funny when people were breaking character and laughing and would keep it in the show often.
For me also, like I used to say, I was like the queen of eyeball acting because I feel like in season one, they didn't give me a lot of dialogue. There was so much going on.
You start saying, hey guys, can I get more lines? And they go, oh, holy shit, you speak English?
Yeah.
We didn't know.
They said, what? But I do remember when I, you know, was in scenes, it was always something like cutting. Someone was like saying to me or about Jess or whatever the thing was. And it was my natural reaction to roll my eyes, right? Or to give like a death stare. That is just my natural resting face and my natural reactions, which then became such a part of Cece. Because I'd be just sitting there for hours and then I would just watch, you know, Jake make the dumbest, funniest choice of how to, like, you know, shove a turkey into something. And I would just like roll my eyes. That's just the way I respond. If I find something funny, that's what my face does.
Oh, that's what you've been doing.
Making the show. And then it was like, that's a Cece thing. And I was like, no, that's just me.
That's anything.
Making my way to a scene.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Here's actually the big question. Mm-hmm. About this Parents episode. Have you ever watched Parent Trap?
I have watched it.
Oh, you have? I haven't.
You haven't watched it?
No.
Oh my God. Lindsay Lohan?
No, I mean, I know of it because it's such an iconic movie. I know of it so intimately. I thought I'd watched it. And then I went and like read the synopsis and I'm like, oh no. Like, I just think I know it.
Never watched Parent Trap. Well, it's an iconic tale about a young girl who will stop at nothing to get her parents back together. I think that's what it is. Or she could have a twin. I don't remember.
There's definitely a twin because that's what Cece says to her. She says, oh, it's Parent Trap. Oh, no, Nick says it. It's Parent Trap, but without the twins or the mistaken identity.
There we go.
It's just a makeover you're doing right now to see if you can get your parents to hook up. There's no parent trapping that really is happening. She just likes the movie and then tries to get her parents together, which also makes it so funny. Because I feel like little kids do that, where we think we're doing something, but it is in no way actually related.
Oh my gosh. There's a fun fact about me, and it's going to get very, very dark in a second. I did not care. I did not care to get my parents back together. Let's go to commercial.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans, and yet there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates, young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Welcome to our show.
And we're back from commercial. For just tuning in, I had no cares to get my parents back together as they did in the classic film Parent Trap.
If you're just coming back, my computer is garbage, and we're gonna sort it out.
She got this. So fun, also, fun fact about today: two things. One, it is it is now 3:57 in the morning, and also Hannah, for the longest time, she's had the exact same laptop that she did when we started New Girl.
That's true, actually.
You got a dial-up laptop.
the modem connects.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we were talking a little bit about Jamie Lee Curtis and the effect that she had on us on the show. That moment she's in the kitchen cooking, you know, or basting that turkey with Jake Johnson, that was powerful. That was a sexy moment.
It was a very sexy moment, and it was one that I could believe that, it's like those moments where the character and then the actor, like the Venn diagram, mm-hmm. those are moments of crossover. I feel like that could have happened to Jake Johnson.
You think Jake Johnson, not Nick Miller, you think Jake Johnson could have made love to Jamie Lee Curtis?
No, but I feel like he could have got a little lost in the sauce in a sexy moment where you go, like, what am I doing? I think I'm feeling some things. Yeah, it can happen to any of us. It can happen to any of us.
One minute you're basting the turkey. Next minute you're basting that ass. That's what you're trying to say?
It's slow down. That's definitely not what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
just saying it's the holidays.
Never know.
Having a few drinks.
The mistletoe is there.
Yeah. Things can happen. That's all. I just thought it was believable. But Zoe's reaction, like that she makes as Jess in that scene, is so funny. Where she's like, "It's stuck!" Grabs him, snatches him away. She's like, "You ain't about to become my stepfather. Let's move."
At some point,
not what's happening today.
Yeah, he did become her daddy, though.
Yeah. Okay, slow down. Okay. Ooh, this was my other thing I noticed during the episode. Okay. When Nick and Bob are on the couch talking and they're talking about Z for zombie. Am I right on this?
Yep.
Right. And he says that I have to pull up my notes. My notes just jumped. Mm-hmm. He says Carol, the zombie and Carol. Do you think they chose the name Carol to be short for Caroline? He's thinking about his ex.
I think so. I think 100%. Because, we find out in a later episode that he can't spell rhythm, right? Which is alluding to the fact that Nick Miller has no rhythm.
No rhythm. That's not a shock.
I think it's all connected.
It's all connected. I feel like the true... like Easter eggs of this whole show all lie within Z is for zombie.
Probably. Cause I feel like for some reason, I only remember Z is for zombie in later seasons. I didn't realize that this was a thing from the beginning. Like, as again, going back and doing this podcast, I was like, my God, Zeus for Zombie has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's been around from the beginning. They really did. That's like when we get Liz back on this show, maybe at the end of this season, I want to be like, how much did you arc out the series?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like that elevator kiss, like how much did you arc out this series? Or is it one of those things that when you look back, you can find connection points that make it make sense?
Well, when you're dealing with the same core group of writers, you know what I mean? And sometimes your brain, when it's activated to tell a joke, you go in a certain direction. And so they probably, when you're writing a certain style or technique, you're probably tapping back into very similar thoughts that you had along the journey. And you probably don't remember. So you're right. You probably go back and you can connect them. And they probably weren't done intentionally, but because it's coming from the same brain, you know, that maybe that's it.
I like this theory.
You like the...
the theory.
And I gotta tell you, it's not a theory.
You're like, this is hard science.
This is a fact.
And it's a fact.
This is a fact. There's nothing theoretical about what I said.
I'm talking about the theory of like figuring out what's going on in New Girl, whether these things that kind of all come back together. This parents episode, we're going deep, you guys. We're going deep.
Yeah, sorry, because you know I had a rough relationship growing up, so we got to tap in. Because right now, I think we're gonna get a breakthrough in my emotional state.
There was no part of you that ever thought your parents should get back together, even when you were little. Okay, we're not gonna go there. Gonna take all of that. We're gonna put it in the back of the closet. We're gonna close the door. No. We're not gonna go there.
No. No, we don't have to go. Let's not go there.
Let's not go there. Oh, okay. I just want to talk about one of my favorite quotes. Mm-hmm. Is in this episode. I didn't realize it came from this episode, which is from Nick Miller, mm-hmm. who I feel like I could have said this 1,000 times in my life. Do I regret it? Yes. Would I do it again? Probably. I feel like that's a lot of life, though.
Yeah. Yeah. We listen, they say you learn from your mistakes. No, we don't. No, we don't. We love the way that mistake felt. And so
that's right.
Find ourselves back there.
That's right. The happy mistakes.
Yeah. Because we trick ourselves to think that the outcome will be different. You know,
right.
The quote should be, you should be learning from your mistakes. Because we should, but we don't, because we stupid.
Because you is you.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, one thing that I found interesting about this episode is the idea of, and this is because of our mess around, the idea of what being manly is, you know. I thought that was a very interesting thing to go through, to talk about on the show. And it was almost like they were like bordering some lines a little bit. Whatever. When I was, they would take a comment, I would go, easy now. I know this is 2012. I don't think things were different back then. Like, easy now. You know, some of the things that I felt like were happening in this episode. And I'm gonna say something and then we can probably cut it, just because this is a story that I needed to tell about this moment. This, my friend, some friends from high school who hit me up, they sent me a text and they were like, dude, it was kind of like a congratulations / we never knew message. It was, man, it's been going around that, you know, you're bisexual. Not gay, but bisexual. It was very, I was like, wait, what? Okay. I was like, well, what are you talking about? One, and are you being serious? Is this a joke? Is this a bit? I was like, because, you know, I'm not. I got my ladies. So I was in a relationship at the time. And they go, I was like, what would make you say that? And he goes, well, everybody's been talking. You know, we watched the, that last episode of your show. And, you know, you kissed Rob Riggle.
Get out of town.
I started crying laughing.
Like, do you understand how fictional stories work?
I was like, wait, what?
Oh, my God.
I was in tears. I was in tears, man. That's I remember that's the one thing I took away from this episode is that my buddy's like, there's a rumor about you based on this episode of television. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Where am I going home to every summer?
You know, it is funny, though. There was a lot of we shouldn't cut that. That's so funny. Oh, I feel like there's been like so many like moments where you realize what people are watching. There's difficulty in separating it from reality. Because I remember when there was like the big Cece Schmidt breakup, like people would like run to like shove themselves into an elevator with me and be like out of breath and be like, please, please take Schmidt back.
Oh, wow.
And I'd be like, yeah. Wow. Okay. How do I explain this to you? Because you're very distressed. I'm not Cece. Max is not Schmidt. It's a story and I don't even write the story. So I can't,
yeah.
I can't even in the story, make it happen for you.
On multiple levels.
On so many levels. I cannot help you right now. I'm getting off on this floor. I feel like I've left you worse than I found you. I'm so sorry. Thank you for watching. Bye-bye. Yes. I'm pressing the door button. But it's true. There's moments where people blur it. So I'm sure see Rob Brinkle kiss you, they're just like, well, I guess he must like boys too.
Yeah. I was like, that's an interesting thought, you guys. Very, very astute. This is also something interesting about this episode. I do believe this was the episode where Rob Riggle, Big Schmidt, is showing that he can do his thing in the kitchen, right? And he's got this knife and he's just chopping and he's just going bam 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 bam. Fun fact, I believe that there was a stunt person doing the chopping. It wasn't Rob doing a lot of the hand to knife stuff. For safety reasons. He could do it, but for safety reasons, they had a stunt person do it. This stunt person damn near chopped his whole finger off and was bleeding all over the place in this episode. And I just thought to myself, man, they hired you to do this. And lo and behold. Anyway, I don't know whether, I hope he's okay. I do hope he's okay. But if not, I hope they give him that cyborg hand.
I will say there's a couple of things I just would like to share as we kind of wrap up this episode about Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. Just because I was such a huge, huge fan of hers, not just because of the work that she had done. Shout out to True Lies. Mm-hmm. Love that movie. But because she had many years before had a photo published of her in her like bra and underwear where she said, I'll do this photo shoot, but you can't retouch my body. I just want it to look like my body. Mm-hmm. And it was like disruptive to the whole game. Because everything had been retouched and people posed in certain ways and certain angles and did the thing. And it was, as a young girl, seeing that image, something I can see it now. It just was so important to see what a real woman's body looked like.
I know.
It was just so powerful. And so when I found out that she was coming on set, because she was also this role model to me for doing that, I was so nervous. And she was by far in my life one of the most down-to-earth, kind, and fully like in herself, knowing herself kind of humans I've ever met. I remember because she was talking to me about. So we're talking about like philosophy and life. And I told her that, you know, I'm half Indian. And had she ever been to India? It just felt like she'd been to India. And I remember she looked at me and she was like, no. And I have no wanderlust, no wanderlust at all. No desire. You know, and I remember just being so taken aback, because how most people speak, if you say like, oh, have you ever been to wherever? India, China, any whatever, people go like, no, but like maybe one day, or I'd like to. It's just like a natural reflex we have as humans. Yeah. And for her to be able to lovingly, but knowing herself and going, nope, and I have no interest because I don't have wanderlust, was another huge lesson from like the Jamie Lee Curtis book of life, I feel like, where I was like, oh yeah, you don't have to think that someone's going to take offense by your own truth. Just say it. That's fine. Yeah. I don't want to go. I love her.
Yeah, I didn't see that photo that you said was retouched over and over and over again. I hadn't seen that photo.
No, it's never been retouched. That's what I'm saying. Right. Her whole point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I have never seen that photo, but I can tell you, I personally know what it's like to be retouched over and over and over again.
Okay. All right. Slow down.
I am in these streets again, y'all. I am single, ready to be touched and then retouched.
This is what happens. Okay. This is why this podcast has just become a mess around. I'm talking about body positivity.
That's right.
Female empowerment.
I'm all about it.
Touch my body. I'm all about it.
Listen, I'm all about it. I feel empowered to retouch. Because I'm lonely is what I'm trying to tell everybody out there. Oh, my gosh.
It's the parents episode. It's getting emotional for you. I can see it. 100%. You feel lonely.
Extremely lonely.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hannah, often on this show we talk about a certain topic on the show that we dive into, and oftentimes you deliver, but oftentimes you fail. Hannah.
Okay.
Hannah.
Okay. Yes, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say, and listen, hold up, because I know. The bear.
Now it's time for Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear?
Where's the Bear is brought to you by Hyundai. When it comes to your journey, Hyundai is thinking of every mile.
I got the greatest DM, okay?
From Yogi?
It's from, the handle is the Disney Mermaid. Shout out to the Disney Mermaid, because she wrote, caps, important bear hunt, Hannah, parentheses, also Lamorne and Zoe, okay? So, every time
Every single time you're doing Where's the Bear, all I can think about is Seinfeld. There was purposefully a Superman in every single episode. This is confirmed. It was on Jeopardy. But the thing is, in so many episodes, it was just the same Superman statue on Jerry's bookshelf. Justice for Fridge Bear. Okay? He's there. He's not appearing in every single episode, but he is in episodes with no other bears. Coincidence? I think not. It shouldn't have to be a different bear in every episode. Anyway, New Girl is my favorite show of all time. I watch it over and over and over. My husband and I quote it all the time. So grateful for the comfort it brings me. And I love you all. I love the podcast. Love Rebecca Hines from West Virginia. Thank you. Okay. Because yes, in this episode, it is the fridge bear. But now I'm saying a lot of people are telling me, including Rebecca, that's valid. So fridge bear. This episode appears.
Are you retroactively going back to all the times you let the fans down? All the times you left your co-stars hanging in anticipation to find this damn bear. Are you mean to tell me that you're retroactively going back to place the bear in the moments you failed us? So you could have never failed us?
From the Jamie Lee Curtis Book of Life. Okay. Mm-hmm. I stand in my truth. I have always said fridge bear. When there was no other bear to be found. And I've always said it's a valid bear. I'm just saying now a lot of other people are echoing back that that is valid and truthful and has been used in different ways on other shows that are iconic. So it counts. Bear.
Make sure you go out and get our merch. The new one is going to say the bear is on the refrigerator. That's what it's going to say.
Ooh, fridge bear.
The fridge
We're going to drop some new merch where it's just the fridge with fridge bear on it.
Yes.
And if you wear it, I will love you because I believe in Fridge Bear.
Oh my gosh. No, you know what? Fine. I'll let you have that one. Because
Thank you.
you're not lying. You're not lying. But also
I'm not.
But also, besides the pilot, there was a big strapping, you know, brolic young man on the show with hairy chest. And I'm not talking about Jake Johnson, I'm talking about me. So hey y'all out there.
Slow down.
I'm so lonely.
I'm so lonely, parents.
Ladies, I'm strong.
This whole episode is like really like tapping into it. The parents, it's the masculinity, emotional honesty. We're doing it all today, you guys.
Thanks for helping us with our Bear Hunt Hyundai. Remember, with Hyundai, it's all about the journey. Whatever your destination, they've got the latest tech to get you there safe and keep your passengers entertained along the way. From shopping to buying to owning, Hyundai has your back. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. One of my all-time favorites. It's a great one. Go kiss your mom, kiss your dad, get a good old hug ball going, get them together, break them up. Do your thing.
Do whatever you got to do.
Do whatever you got to do. Do what works for them, for you.
Shout out Lindsay Lohan. Love you, girl.
Yeah.
I'll be home soon.
Okay. All right.
I won't be coming back.
She's having a baby.
She is?
Yes.
The boy ain't mine.
Okay. Well, we're glad we've cleared that up. You heard it here first, folks. All right. We're going to drop some new merch. We're going to start working on it. Fridge Bear.
Yes. Fridge Bear and the Lindsay Lohan boy ain't mine. We love y'all. Give us 5 stars. Write a good comment. Write a good remark. Peace.
Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zoe Deschanel, performed and produced by Zoe Deschanel and Pierre DeReader. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico.
Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.